Good morning to everyone. The audit hearing of the Federal Election Commission for Tuesday, December 6, 2016 will now begin. We are considering the draft final audit report of the Audit Division on the Colorado Republican Committee. We have Chris Murray, who is representing the audited committee, and will give a presentation. Just to state how we're going to proceed, we will give Mr. Murray an opportunity to give an opening statement, which I believe will be accompanied by a PowerPoint presentation. So we're going to lower the screen, and so we will all, in just one moment, take seats in the front row so that we can follow along on that PowerPoint presentation. And then once that's finished, if you want to reserve some time for a wrap-up summary at the end, but after your intro, the commission, it will be open for commissioners to ask questions, and then we will proceed at that point. This is being conducted pursuant to a policy that that was passed by the commission a few years ago. The reference to this procedure is in Directive 70 of the commission's directives. And with that introduction in place, why don't commissioners, why don't we go take our seats in the front row, and then Mr. Murray, we'll turn it over to you to give your presentation.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson.
Madam Secretary, is there any way for me to see the presentation?
The presentation should be coming through on the video portion.
Okay, video portion. Okay. Thank you.
Steve has a copy of the PowerPoint, and he's going to send it to you as soon as we can get the computer squared away.
Okay, thank you very much.
Members of the Commission, thank you for the opportunity to address you. If it's okay, I know it's going to look a little awkward. I hope that you will look at the screen and not at me as I crane my neck to try and address you and also present the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint is, this is intended to be a short summary of the basis for the committee's disagreement with Audit Division staff on finding 1C and finding 4 in the DFAR. I anticipate this will be about 5 to 10 minutes. Okay. Members of the commission, the committee requested a hearing on two issues. Again, finding 1C, and this is the Audit Division's recommendation, that the issue of the Colorado Republican Committee, which is the audited committee here, the issue of its control of the Colorado RNC host account, which is we'll go into the formal name of that entity in a moment, but it's a 501c4, which is, it's the party's position, is operated independent of the party and is not under the party's control and is not a committee required to register or report. And second is finding 4, which I believe is a little bit simpler issue, which is the Audit Division's recommendation that amounts claimed in invoices by a get-out-the-vote vendor, Strategic Allied Consultants, LLC, but disputed and never paid by CRC are nonetheless reportable debt. So first, we've got the RNC host account. The important communication with the Audit Division occurred on January 8th, 2014, from the former CRC chairman. That gentleman's name is Ryan Call. Mr. Call explained what the RNC host account was and that it was a separate legal entity not controlled by the RNC. And a copy of this email, or at least a pertinent portion of the email, is there in the PowerPoint. As you can see, Mr. Call let audit staff know that what the host account was, it was created to facilitate compliance mainly with Article 41 of the Colorado Constitution relating to gifts. It paid for some cultural activities and experiences for members of delegations from Colorado and other states at the Tampa Convention. The email attached some documentation to back up Mr. Call's representations, including the articles of incorporation for the entity, which reference its legal name, which is the Colorado Chairman's Host Committee for the Republican National Convention. The email listed the registered agent for the committee, which at the time was Timothy Gilmore. Mr. Gilmore, incidentally, we are unaware of any effort by Audit Division staff to contact Mr. Gilmore or anybody else associated with the RNC host account. That may have happened, but I am sitting here in front of you today unaware of any such efforts. It also, we didn't just provide the form bylaws and articles of, the form articles of incorporation. We provided the detailed articles and, as you'll see in a moment, also bylaws. The articles provided information on who had the power to write and amend the bylaws, and that's the board of directors of this entity. And the bylaws were included with that email, and they included and specified who could direct the entity to make expenditures. And again, that's at the discretion of the board of directors or the corporation officers, none of which were individuals who control the CRC. There's some dispute in the record about this, and I want to be perfectly candid with the commission. It may not even be a dispute. It may just be a lack of clarity as to when the EIN number for this entity, which is separate from the CRC's EIN number, was provided to Audit Division staff. I was not CRC General Counsel at the time that the audit began. I have only begun representing the committee since spring of this year. So I've kind of jumped into the middle of this, basically right when we got the interim draft audit report. And I believe, and the copy, it's unclear from the copy of the email I have, whether this EIN was provided in January of 2014 with Mr. Call's email, or if, as it states in the draft audit report, it was actually provided at the exit interview. I've asked my client if they can remember exactly when this was provided. I don't have a verbatim copy of the email with its attachments. I had to sort of piece it back together myself. It is my belief, based on the way that these files were kept, that this EIN was provided by Mr. Call in January of 2014. But at the latest, it was provided at the exit interview when additional documentation was requested. And again, the EIN is separate from the EIN for the CRC. Now, in the draft final audit report, the audit division states that the CRC should have obtained pertinent bank documentation confirming that the CRC's EIN was not associated with the convention account. Respectfully, members of the commission, this is not information that CRC was obligated to provide to audit division staff. This is, again, enough information was provided because it happened to be within the control of CRC. That demonstrates that this is a separate legal entity, but we are being asked to prove a negative, right? That we don't control this entity, and that it is not a party committee that is required to register. Respectfully, if anybody should have that legal duty, it is the RNC host account and the members and the people who run it, who are separate individuals, and it's a separate account. It's kept separate from the party for exactly that reason. The CRC believes that it has provided more than enough information to demonstrate that it doesn't legally control this account, and frankly, that it is not an entity that is required to register or report. All right, the second issue is finding four. This is the alleged vendor debt. And again, in December of 2014, so almost a year after the emails relating to the RNC host account, I believe this is one of sort of the final issues that was getting cleaned up with audit staff. CRC had consistently maintained that this $133,487 for which there are invoices from Strategic Allied Consultants saying, Colorado Republican Committee, you owe us this money, and you owe it under this contract. Those invoices were turned over and were reviewed by Audit Division staff, and that's where the number is accurate. We have no dispute over what the number is. The issue is whether or not it had to be disclosed as debt. And CRC has taken the consistent position that no services were actually properly provided under this contract, and the contract was terminated very shortly after it was signed because of a dispute with the vendor. Again, I'm not 100% privy as to exactly what that dispute was, but I do know that none of these monies were ever actually paid to Strategic Allied Consultants. This is a copy of the termination letter that was provided to Audit Division staff. As Audit Division staff notes, this copy is not signed. I cannot locate a signed copy of the termination letter. The termination letter, the signed copy of it was apparently mailed, and a photocopy of it with Mr. Call, who again was the chairman at the time, with his signature on it, was not retained by my client. That said, we now have the benefit of we're sitting here in 2016. It has been coming up on, it has been over 4 years since this debt was allegedly incurred. CRC has never reported this debt because it believes that it is not properly owed. Strategic Allied has never filed suit against CRC or made any other claim for this amount other than the invoices which were turned over in the audit. And the statute of limitations in Colorado, as in many states, for a breach of contract is 2 years. That statute is run. So this debt is, even if it is reportable, if it turns out that the commission finds that this is properly reportable debt, the debt is uncollectible, and CRC cannot pay it, and will not pay it. And if CRC is required to report this as debt, it will be debt that never comes off of CRC's reports. It will sit there as phantom debt. We don't believe that that helps the, and we recognize there's a balance to be struck here because committees can always say, oh, well, we don't owe the money. And there's all sorts of issues that can happen there. There can be hidden contributions if you pretend that this commission has seen the dark side of when people say, oh, well, it's not really a debt, and I understand that. But this is a legitimately disputed debt. It was a terminated contract because of a dispute with a vendor. And CRC has been consistent throughout the process that it doesn't believe this money is owed and has never paid it. It is possible that at least if the commission finds that this should have been reported at the time, and then should have come off maybe when the statute of limitations ran, that would be a position that the committee would be willing to accept. It just does not want to leave this debt permanently on its reports. And with that, I thank all of you for your time, and I look forward to your questions and also to addressing you facing forward.
Reconstituted on the dais. Mr. Murray, thank you for that. Those opening remarks and for the summary of the argument that you want to present before the commission. It's now time for to open the time up for commissioners to ask any questions that they may have of Mr. Murray regarding the questions at issue. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Murray, for coming in and for your very well-organized presentation. I'm not sure that I'm understanding exactly what your argument is on the disputed debt. I mean, you know that there's a process for reporting disputed debt as opposed to, I guess one could call it acknowledged debt.
Yes.
So is it your position that, and you referred to it several times as disputed.
Right.
So is it your position that it's, they've given up on it, so it's no longer even disputed debt, or because it's past the statute of limitations, it's uncollectible anyway.
That's correct. So, it was disputed at the time, and so again, while What we see in the DFAR, and this may just be, you know, this may be a misunderstanding, but what we see in the DFAR is a recommendation that we amend our reports coming all the way to the present to show this debt as unpaid. And if that is the position of audit division staff, then we don't believe that we can do that. Could we amend our prior reports to show this, you know, as disputed debt at the time that it came in? Absolutely, we could do that.
All right, and you're not opposed to doing that. You're
no.
not arguing.
No, we are not.
Okay, all right. I just want to be clear on what your position is.
Yep. Commissioner Goodman,
let me go back. This vendor, this disputed debt.
Yes.
Did this vendor provide any services to the party? In other words, did it perform partially on the contract? Did you pay for some services, but then you disputed owing them after a certain time? Or did you not pay them for any services, dispute owing them for any services at all?
My understanding is that the party had used this vendor before and so had paid them for other services. But
you mean in connection with other elections? Or
Correct.
But not in connection with this election?
Correct.
And they're a get-out-the-vote vendor?
Correct.
Okay. And so is it your representation that the party received no services from this vendor in connection with this election?
I know some services which were not requested were rendered. The issue is whether the services were at all useful, right, or counterproductive. And so something happened. This wasn't just a phantom invoice for, you know, that Strategic Ally generated, and they did absolutely nothing. I apologize that I was not party counsel then, and I'm dealing with, you know, a lot of staff turnover and a lot of institutional memory lost because we are here 4 years later, and I know that's not helpful to you. But this was not an invoice for $133,000 that just showed up, right, and nothing had actually been done. My understanding is that the contract was entered into, and then it became very clear the minute that the services began to be provided that the vendor was not doing what was contracted for and was not capable of doing it on the time scale, and so the contract was terminated.
Promptly?
I believe the contract was executed a couple months before, but no services were due to be provided until September of that year, and the termination happened in September. I think it's just a couple weeks afterwards.
And the statute of limitations ran when?
Well, and then so the invoice came in, I believe, by the end of September or early October. It's been a while since I looked at that invoice. But if the invoice came in, let's say, October of 2012, it went unpaid. I think it was due on 30 days' notice. So let's say you know that they're in breach in November of 2012. So the statute of limitations ran, no matter what, by November of 2014.
And you don't have any other correspondence with the vendor?
Not that I have been able to locate. And I apologize, Commissioner.
Okay.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Sorry, just following up on this point again. So does the vendor still think you owe them the money?
I have no idea. I don't think the vendor exists anymore.
Yeah. Okay. What was the last time, if you know, that your committee had contact with this vendor?
Over 2 years ago. I mean, and that's ballpark, but I asked my client this question because I figured I might get it.
Yeah.
And it was in our last executive director's term, and so that's over 2 years ago, because the current executive director has had no contact with this vendor.
So to the best of your knowledge, the vendor is not continuing to press for payment of this debt?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been general counsel to the committee since March of this year. That I have heard nothing from them in that time, and I have heard from other vendors who want to be paid, so I have not heard from Strategic Allied.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. Thanks for the nice presentation. By the way, say hi to Frank Schreck.
I will. Absolutely. Next time I'm in Las Vegas, I'll do that.
He and I went to law school together.
No kidding. All right.
A couple years ago.
I'll be sure to pass it on.
The question I had on the and since we're having a colloquy on this, what have you discussed with our staff about the idea of just amending those reports to show it was disputed?
No. And that's on me. It took me a while to get to the point, because I have taken over as the committee's counsel, frankly, to get to a point where I was comfortable with my knowledge of what actually happened here, because there are real reporting requirements that come up with this. And as you can imagine, and in response to this audit, we have made already substantial amendments to our past reports. And even since I've become counsel, we've agreed with some of the findings of staff and have amended our reports. So every time we do that, there is a political consequence within the party, right? That we have to change these reports. And so before we make another amendment, I wanted to be sure that it was proper. So no, there has not been colloquy with division staff on that, and that is on me.
Well, I'm wondering, when I see the letter of termination, it says no further services shall be provided.
Yes.
It says please prepare the final invoice, and then it says and we will make arrangements for the prompt and final payment of all authorized fees and expenses incurred. So it sounds to me like toward the end of the relationship, there was a discussion that recognition services provided, they were not satisfactory. Get us your invoices. We will pay them. We will, you know, that's a recommendation that, kind of an acknowledgement that there's probably something owed.
Yes.
And so given that, it looks to me like this pretty much was there, and it was disputed, and it was never enforced by either side for some, you know, either certainly by them. But if it seems to me maybe a way to resolve it is just to amend your returns.
Again, I think that the one thing I will say about that letter, because
I have thoughts on that.
I apologize.
Go ahead.
I have asked former Chairman Call about that letter and to assess. Well, all right, did they provide anything? Do you remember? Right, and that letter, former Chairman Call is himself a lawyer and also practices election law, and apparently that letter was a form letter that was used for terminations. He had a form letter for everything. Ryan's a pretty organized guy. And so it was a form letter that was used for, you know, if a dispute with a vendor came up and they had to terminate a contract, he took that out of his firm's practice. He could not remember whether there actually were services provided that they paid for and whether that paragraph was intended to acknowledge something real or whether it was just in there because it was in his contract termination letter.
Well, it seems to me, I guess you don't have a signed copy, right?
I do not, no.
Yeah. But you're kind of stuck with the language here. And I don't mean it in a negative way. It just seems to me that maybe a solution would be, and I don't know what the staff feels about that, but that might be one issue that could be resolved in that way.
It may be.
And then, that's all I have for the moment.
Commissioner Goodman.
Have you discussed with your reports analyst the construct for reporting disputed debt and then how to retire that debt once the dispute is resolved one way or the other?
Yes. And our accountant is familiar with how to do that as well.
Okay. Yep. I have another question.
Sure. Cool. Right ahead.
Shifting subjects, do you know who the officers and directors of the chairman's committee are?
As of today, I believe the chairman.
So the entity still exists?
I think it's dormant, but I think as of today, the Mr. Gilmore is still the head of that entity.
Mr. Gilmore, do you know Mr. Gilmore?
I do not. So I know he's with Brownstein, but he left Brownstein before I joined, and so he's not with Brownstein anymore.
Okay.
This committee was formed and put into place with Brownstein as its attorneys, just in a quirk of, you know, Denver's a little bit of a smaller town, so I didn't join Brownstein until 2015, and so this was formed over there, and I believe it's now somewhere else.
Do you know if Brownstein is still the address for the registered agent?
Brownstein is still the address for the registered agent.
Do you know who the registered agent is now?
I believe it is a woman named Melissa Kuipers, Kuipers.
Okay. But do you know, at the time, in 2012, do you know who the officers and directors were?
I do not know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I believe, I don't know that there are any more people other than Ms. Kuipers was listed here and Mr. Gilmore was listed here. I don't know that there was anybody else. If there was, that's what I don't know. I know Ms. Kuipers and Mr. Gilmore were actively involved with it.
I was struck by, you made a representation that none of the people who controlled the chairman's committee controlled the state party.
That's correct.
Okay, so do you know who the officers and directors who controlled the chairman's committee were?
Again, I know that it was controlled by Ms. Kuipers and Mr. Gilmore.
Oh, it was?
Yes, but if there were other people, I know that the only thing I was able to establish was certainty.
Certainly, they were not party people.
Correct, yeah. I asked Chairman Cole, I said, you know, did you sit on the board of this thing? Were you one of the officers? And he said, no. Was your executive director on there? Was there any party staff on there? Were there, you know, any members from the party executive committee on there? And the answer was no.
Any explanation for how the bank records ended up in the party's possession?
Unknown. I have no, except that I wouldn't be surprised if the party, I wouldn't be surprised at all because I practice in this space and these committees are relatively common. I wouldn't be surprised if it was an idea that was hatched at the party and some friends went out and then did it and then it was left to them.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. I wasn't sure from the conversation before we started today whether or not there was reluctance to provide information because it was felt it wasn't necessary or because the information wasn't available to you and you didn't want to go hunt it down.
So the answer is...
See the point on one where you want, you know, where you're asked to get information you don't have or normally would not have. On the other hand, some of these documents are in the possession of so it seems to me there was a nexus here where there could be some information that has been asked for that would be forthcoming. So I'm curious to know what your attitude is on providing information that the chairman's.
Any information that the committee has in its possession, we're happy to provide, and it's my understanding that it's all been provided. So what it comes down to is, again, and I know that this isn't an ideal posture, and I hate to, you know, be the new kid on the block, but it comes down to we've got new party officers. I step into this, and there are no, you know, I do have to go chase down records from an entity that I don't control. If we're going to provide more information at this point. Whether that was true at the time that the party was interacting with Audit Division staff earlier, candidly, I can't tell you. I believe that it was true at that time as well, that they provided everything they had, and that's how these questions came up in the first place. And then when it got to the end of the road for, you know, there's no more information in our files, the committee said, look, we've given you everything we've got. We're not going to go out and chase stuff that's not under our control.
The bank records, do you have a copy of the document that was signed with the bank to create that account?
I do not know.
And that would be recoverable, wouldn't it be?
If the committee, I mean, it would be recoverable certainly through the chairman's host account, absolutely. I mean, the document has to exist somewhere.
So is there a reluctance to help get that?
Well, I wouldn't say reluctance to help get it, but again, the issue is that we don't have legal control over that entity, and you know, at the end of the day, we don't believe it's appropriate to hold the committee responsible, a reporting entity, for not being able to, right, or going and chasing down something that it doesn't have the authority to go get. So we could try and help, but then if we're unsuccessful in doing it because this thing is dormant and we can't get a hold of somebody to go do it, right, or the person says we don't want to provide it, we have no legal authority to force them to do that.
Have they refused?
I am not aware that they have refused. I'm also not aware that the request has been made.
Okay.
Commissioner Goodman.
You understand that the presumption of the audit report is that from January of 2012 to June of 2012, our auditors suspect that this organization may have used the EIN number of the Colorado State Party.
Yes, I've
seen anything that in your state party records that would indicate your client's EIN number was used?
No.
One further question.
Sure.
You did not request an audit, so if you want to defer on this, you can. But I'm just curious about why you didn't want to discuss the volunteer mail issue and whether you were interested in submitting affidavits or post hoc analysis or recollections of people in connection with the 77 direct mail.
Well, Commissioner, thank you for asking, but the honest-to-goodness reason is that we believe that this issue has been tangled with by the Commission before, and that the guidance is pretty clear here that, you know, the sort of records that the Audit Division was asking for here, while they may be helpful, they're not the sort of thing that the Audit Division has ever asked for before, right? And it's not the sort of evidence that has ever been required before for the application of that exception. And I think the record as it stands, we're comfortable with it. We believe for the mail pieces that we qualify for under that the cards that we submitted, which are all the records in our possession, and again, you're dealing with volunteers again from a long time ago, I think it'd be a wild goose chase for me to go out and try and get post hoc recollections from volunteers that I probably can't track down anymore.
Or the people who operated the direct mail program.
Right.
We've seen affidavits before.
Right.
From the people who operated the direct mail program for that election, and then you just need one or two affidavits of the people who ran it. That has sufficed in the past.
Well, Commissioner, that may be something that we attempt to submit. But again,
that was a softball, by the way.
I know. No, I hear you. I mean, but I do want to make the point that we really do think that some of the information that was requested by the Audit Division here, if there's going to be guidance from the Commission going forward that we should have copies of photo IDs for these people and all that, it's something that we're happy to do. It's just not something that we were required to do at the time.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question about the EIN. I think maybe we lost Commissioner Ravel. So we have, you've provided us in your presentation.
Hearing room.
Interesting. You've provided us in your presentation with a copy of the Colorado Chairman's Host Committee EIN, which I take it was something that you had?
Yeah, this was something that was provided to the Audit Division, I believe, all the way back in January of 2014.
Okay.
That's how I have it.
Right. So that was within the possession of the committee.
Correct.
Right.
Everything that I've shown the Commission today was in the possession of the committee.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe that would be a logical assumption, but not necessarily. You know, you could have called somebody else up and said, hey, you know, I think this would be helpful to us have it. Do you happen to have it? So I don't want to make any assumptions. Maybe I'm just not understanding this issue, but is that your EIN number? Is the number that they were using, is that one that the committee was also using? It seems to me that that's something you could verify fairly easily.
This is not the CRC's EIN number.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish I could quote the CRC's EIN number off the top of my head.
No.
Perhaps I should have been prepared to do that, but this is not
it. You could. I thought I heard you say in your presentation that, you know, it would be complicated for you to prove a negative. It strikes me it would be quite simple for you to provide a piece of paper that shows, here's our EIN number, here's their EIN number, they're not the same number.
I believe, you know, so that's very fair. I believe Audit Division staff knows what our EIN number is, but maybe I'm wrong, and that's certainly something we would be happy to provide if that would be helpful.
I'm just, it seems to me that could solve your you know, we can't prove a negative problem in a fairly straightforward way.
Fair enough, Commissioner.
Any Commissioner Hunter.
Does the audit staff want to comment on that?
Mr. Murray, all along we have tried to get a statement from the committee, from the bank, that states what that this account number is not associated with Colorado's EIN, that this bank account has a different EIN number. Mm-hmm. Could you provide a statement from the bank that says this bank account is not associated with Colorado's EIN?
And that's just the issue we have here. That's not something that I can guarantee because, again, we do not have control of that entity and we do not...
No, Colorado's bank account.
Colorado's bank accounts...
The account in question that we're asking about, the convention bank account.
Oh, that Colorado's EIN is not being used on other accounts?
That is not being used on this particular bank account.
That is probably something that we can provide.
That's all we wanted.
And if you were to receive that, then that would satisfy the...
That it's
the concerns
not
that have been expressed by the audit.
Colorado Republican Committee.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have not made that sort of a request to our bank yet in my capacity as counsel, so I don't know if I'm going to run into any hiccups there, but that's obviously I hear what you've just said, and that's obviously something I'm interested in providing.
Are there any further questions? The only questions that I had when I was going over this matter were, and I believe that you've already addressed them, but let me just confirm. One is that that not only is the host account a separate legal entity, but the Colorado Republican Committee had no control over it. You went through and said that there weren't overlapping officers and so forth, which would indicate that there's more of a formal relationship between the two entities.
Right. That's correct. There was, and that was deliberate. I mean, my understanding is that was done deliberately, that there would be absolutely no overlap, and that the party erred on the side of safety there.
Okay. And then as to the debt issue, from what I understand your argument, and correct me if I'm wrong, the chief concern that you have is any obligation that could be imposed upon you that would require you to put down the debt on your reports and carry that forward somewhat indefinitely.
Correct.
That if it were, if there were some requirement to report some finite period of time, a disputed debt, when it would have still been live on Colorado books, I think you indicated from perhaps October of 12 to about November of 14, then that would be something that that you would potentially consider doing, or I'm just, since those were the numbers you gave me, that's what I was using. But what you do not want to have an obligation is carrying forward this $130,000 and change. Yep. to the vendor to have to continually report that going forward as either debt or disputed debt.
Right, and I should be very clear. I mean, I use the statute of limitations just to illustrate how dead this debt is.
Yeah.
I'm not an accountant, and I did not stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. I'm not going to pretend to be one. But it is my understanding, again, that there were, other than an initial invoice, there were never any serious, I mean, I can't find any serious attempts to collect this.
Okay.
And so,
it was just a single invoice. There weren't, monthly.
There may have been two.
Okay.
But there was, it's my understanding there was never any serious attempt made to collect this. And so if it has to show up on an earlier report, we would appreciate guidance either from the commissioner or from audit division staff as to when it should show up, and I do not think it should show up until the 2-year statute of limitations on a contract runs.
Because I was just using that date, yeah. Since you had mentioned that that's when the statute ran. That was kind of the outer boundary, but, turn it over to the audit division.
Commissioner, thank you. Mr. Murray, at one point in your presentation, you said something about an October 2012 invoice.
Mm-hmm. I use that as an example. I wasn't sure when the invoice came in, whether it was September or October, sitting here because I don't have it in front of me.
So there was an invoice after that termination letter was sent?
I don't even know if there actually was an invoice. My point is that there may have, if there were any invoices, they were never followed up on, right? And there was never any attempt made to collect any real debt.
Okay, because we never did see an invoice, and I just want to make sure.
Yep.
And
Just to edify the record, this was to the extent that this group was to perform any services, they were get out the vote services.
That's correct.
Which would have been performed probably August to November or September, October. Mm-hmm. Get out the vote is usually a service rendered very close to the election.
Absolutely. And so my understanding was that this was something that, to the extent services were provided, and I believe that, as I said earlier, I believe there was some sort of activity by this vendor, because at the time it was a real vendor. I think it had happened immediately before that termination letter, and it became clear that they weren't going to be able to perform in a way that's satisfactory.
The termination letter is dated September 27.
Correct.
So that would have been right about the time that a get-out-the-vote drive was getting underway.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just one more follow-up question, Mr. Murray. So the contract was for $600,000.
Yep.
And the termination letter referred to a contract in July and then another contract in September. And there were payments made in July and August, which this is how we calculated the 133.
Right.
So there were some services by this vendor in this period.
Correct. Thank you for that clarifying question. We're not disputing those earlier services. We're only disputing under this later contract, which was for the GOTV work.
Understood. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to the host account, you said something.
I apologize.
No problem. You said something, I think, that indicated that you think the genesis of this host account may have been that people within the party committee asked their friends to organize this?
No, I shouldn't have been so imprecise with my words. All I said is I don't know. I can't make a representation as to exactly how this thing was formed because I just don't know. I said, based on my experience practicing in this area, I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody, whether it was on the party executive committee or somebody associated with the party, had the idea that it would be a good idea to do it, right? And then somebody went out and did it. But I don't know that. I don't know the answer to the question.
Because it would be troubling to me to... I wouldn't want to encourage a situation where a party committee decides that they want to have some off-the-book operation, so they just ask their friends to organize it and make sure that there's no particular overlap between the individuals who have titles with the party committee and the individuals who have titles with the host committee, but they're all friends and they all know what everybody's doing and they're all sort of working in a cooperative fashion to accomplish the goals, whether it's, you know, for this kind of a function or any kind of a function that would normally be done by a party committee. I don't want to create a sort of, you know, roadmap for committees that don't want to report certain activities to just offload them to some friendlies and just make sure it's done but not on their books.
I mean, I think that that's fair. I also have I don't believe that that's what occurred here. And I also think if you look at the, again, the limited information that I have about this entity is what was turned over. It looks like, frankly, pretty insignificant sums.
So basically where we find ourselves today is, for reasons that you don't really know, your committee ended up with some paperwork with some of the records of this committee, which you say was separate from your committee, and you had your committee had no control over it.
Right.
You don't know why those records are there.
I don't.
You don't know how it was organized.
I don't.
We basically really know.
I don't know what I do. I mean, I have, and again, I apologize because I'm just not an accountant. I'm just a lawyer, and I look at this and I see a separate entity, right? And I see a separate legal entity, and I see what its purposes are, and I see who's authorized to make disbursements under it, and it's not a committee. It's not a reporting entity, and so I wish I knew the answer to that question. And I'm hopeful that the next time around, if I'm in front of you, I will have the benefit of much more institutional knowledge and will be more useful to you.
And is it your understanding that officials of the Colorado Party Committee that you are representing here today, that officials of your committee received any benefits from this other committee?
No, I don't understand that they did, no.
Because it seems to have been set up to provide things to people who went to the convention.
I think delegates to the convention is who it was set up to. Delegates both from Colorado and from other states is who it was set up. I mean, looking at the documents, that's what it looks like to me, that it was supposed to provide benefits to those people, not to other party officials running the committee.
And there were no Colorado party officials who were delegates?
No, but of course there were one of the super delegates on the Republican side is the party chairman.
Okay, so there was some. So the party chairman did receive some kind of benefits, presumably from this committee.
And then I wish I could just concede that. I don't know that I can, because I wouldn't be surprised at all if Chairman Call walled himself. I mean, he would routinely, in my experience with the guy, not. And if there were goodie bags for delegates, for example, like going places, he didn't take any of that, right? Because he didn't, he viewed it as something for the folks who were doing this, for the first time and were getting a chance to go, and not something for him as a professional party chairman. But
that's based on.
It's conjecture. I can't tell you for sure.
All right. And is Mitchell Call still associated with the committee?
No, he is not.
Yes, Ms. Moss?
Mr. Murray, one thing I can confirm for the commissioner is Mr. Call did. There was a reimbursement to him for $750 from that account. But my question is, do you know why there were 8 bank accounts from this depository that were provided to us at the audit staff, and they all began with Colorado State Republican Central Committee and then whatever, like allocations account or the Colorado State Republican Central Committee operations account. But this particular bank account that we're talking about is named the Colorado State Republican Central Committee Republican National Convention Expense Account. So I guess, do you know why it would be named like that?
I do not.
It was not associated with the Colorado Republican Committee's EIN.
No, I do not.
So, okay.
I mean, again, I really don't. I have no answer for that.
Okay.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Our staff probably knows this, but I see in the termination notice there's 2 contracts. And are we talking about both of them or the September one? One was a registration contract and one was a GOTV contract, it sounds like.
Correct. And so we're talking about the GOTV contract, which was in September.
Okay, so the registration contract services were provided and everything was satisfactory.
Yes, and the debt and the payments, the debt and the disbursements to satisfy that debt were reported.
Okay. Were there any other contracts with a Strategic Alliance?
In 2011 to 2012, no. My understanding is in prior cycles, yes.
Okay, and that was the end of the relationship, though, this?
I don't believe we've used that vendor since then. I know we haven't used that vendor in 2016.
Yeah. In the letter it says, please acknowledge receipt of, roughly that language, of Chuck at COLOGOP.org. Who was that?
Oh, Chuck Poppelstein was a previous executive director of the Colorado Republican Committee. That was his email address.
And has that person been communicated with?
I have not spoken with. I know who he is. I haven't spoken with him in some time.
Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. So my understanding is that if Mr. Murray provides Ms. Moss with the information that we talked about a few minutes ago, I don't want to repeat it in case I say it wrong, then this finding one is taken care of, because it, in your mind, it would establish that the other entity is independent from the state party.
If there is a statement from the bank that says that this particular bank account is not associated with the Colorado Republican Committee's EIN, then...
Okay. And thank you. And then to follow up on some of the discussion that Commissioner Weintraub was having, so the delegates are selected in most states per rules of the state parties. And so even though they may be elected pursuant to the state party rules, they're not official members of the party. They're not part of the executive committee. They're not, you know, they might be voting registered Republican, but they probably are registered Republicans and members of the party, you know, just like I am. But that doesn't mean that they're official members of the party. And so my understanding is it's fairly common for, you know, separate entities to set up, and we've seen this here before, to help defray the expenses of delegates going to the convention, as long as there are certain types of expenses. And again, that's fairly common. I don't believe that it's common, even sort of going back in time, to say that the state party typically paid these expenses. Because I think what you were maybe getting at is maybe there was a point in time where a state party may have been sort of reporting all this kind of stuff, and now maybe they're not. My understanding is they didn't typically, even way back in time, pay for, you know, certain kinds of expenses of delegates to go to the convention.
That wasn't my point.
That wasn't your point?
No.
Okay, I thought you were saying that some things that may have been reported in the past aren't now. Okay. Well, to the extent anyone thought that, I think that that this is different, and if it was an independent committee, you know, to defray costs of people who aren't officially, they may be delegates who are in part Republicans, but they're not officially part of the state party.
Mm-hmm. And just for the record, my understanding is at least... as long as I have had anything to do with the Colorado Party, which is about the last 10 years, not in an official capacity until recently, the party has, for those three national conventions, never paid any expenses for its delegates. So, in fact, they, as you might imagine, have to come out of pocket significantly.
Yeah.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the September 27 letter, the termination letter, terminates all services going forward, acknowledges that there have been some services for which money is owed, and says, at your earliest convenience, please prepare final invoices documenting with specificity all services actually performed and provided, and we will make arrangements for the prompt and final payment for all authorized fees and expenses incurred. Is it your understanding that that was paid, that those invoices were either submitted or paid?
My understanding is that I am certain that there were invoices for registration work that was done earlier in the year, and that those invoices were paid. For Get Out the Vote, I do not know that an invoice was ever actually presented. I know that if one was presented, I don't have a copy of it, and if one was presented, it was not paid.
So what I'm trying to figure out is whether this... At least at one point it was disputed debt. Whether that represented these services that this letter seems to acknowledge were provided and for which some payment is owed. Is that the same pot of money, or is this a different pot of money?
I think it's different. I mean, so I think again, there was another contract with this. There's two contracts with this vendor, and so the pot of money that I know was real debt and was paid and was owed was for work earlier in the summer, I think, on registration. I don't know that there was ever. I don't know whether an invoice was presented for this work. I don't know whether there was any real services provided. I know that there was activity to try and provide the services. So, but I don't know the disputed debt that we'd be talking about, again, was all for alleged GOTV work. which the party, again, doesn't believe it received any services.
Which you believe took place after this September 27 letter?
No. That took place before, but weren't in keeping with, and some of which may have taken place after as well. But where exactly those? It would have been immediately before or immediately after this letter.
Are there any further questions? Are there any questions? Further questions of the auditor? Anything from Office of General Counsel? Okay, Mr. Murray, I don't know if there is any closing remarks that you would like to make.
No, I believe that we've plowed the furrow. So, commissioners, I very much appreciate your time, and this is my first time representing a committee that's availed itself of this ability to come in the audit process. Again, I wish we could be a shining example of having a ton of institutional memory and make it very helpful, but we very much do appreciate the ability to address you at this stage in the process as opposed to later on to hopefully avoid a later step in the process. So thank you very much.
Well, we thank you for your presentation, and thank you for answering the questions we have from the commission.
Thank you very much, Hannah Frank.
I will, Mr. Vice Chairman.
This audit hearing is adjourned.